These few verses that we've read together, even as we prayed, remind us of the blessing of faith and the work of God in his faithful servant Abraham. And the verse that really stuck out in the reading that I would hope would be maybe a focus for this time of meditation would be the striking saying in verse 14, that says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." When we speak plainly, there's no question about what we mean. When we speak plainly, the message comes forth with simplicity. It's easily understood. And it's not hard to interpret or to discern what is meant by the one that's speaking. The example of Abraham and his faith was a plain declaration, an unquestionable declaration that he was a pilgrim and a stranger on this earth, and that he had his eyes and his focus, his love and his attention not on this world, but on what God was preparing for his own. He was seeking a country. He was seeking a place that is made with foundations whose builder and maker is God. He was seeking a city, a place to dwell in, and a place of rest. And by faith, he found these things. And that is our example. That is our challenge and thing to meditate upon today. That we are also strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and that we are seeking a better country. We know that's true. We hear the testimony in the scripture time and time again. But more than just knowing it, the challenge is, how can we declare that plainly? How can we make that evident in a way that there is no question to ourselves, to others? What kind of testimony and declaration can make this expression best? Well, he says, "For they that say such things." What sort of things, Abraham? What sort of things did you say? Well, it says in verse 13 that he, having seen these promises afar off. That's one thing Abraham says, that he looked in the distance. He looked beyond his immediate surroundings. He looked beyond his own capabilities and faculties in his body. He looked beyond his family and the support that they gave. And he looked heavenward. He looked to the one who was giving promises of a land, of a people, and of a Messiah. And he looked to God as his confidence and foundation, and all of his hope was firmly placed on the character of God, that what he said was not deceit. It was true. His promise was going to come to pass, and he saw it afar off. It says here in verse 8 when we began that by faith Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And we are placed in a similar situation. Not every detail of life and how our leaning upon the Lord for guidance, for direction, for assurance that there's a way of escape out of temptations that we may see in the future, not all of that is spelled out plain and clear. But we do have a promise. We do have promises that God has made to his people. And we can read and in the Old Testament how the Israelites were commanded to share the testimonies of God with their children. Share the things and the stories of how God had proved himself faithful in the lives of God's servants and in the lives of the children of Israel. And why? Because we don't know the future. But we can take a testimony from the past as hope and encouragement to believe. And that is what the Lord had desired for the children of Israel to pass on and instill. That they would be able to say that I'm a son of one of faith, a son of Abraham. And that they too would also believe God in his testimonies. And all the promises that he had made, that he always came through. And so why not believe him? Why not put your trust in him? Even though you see the promises afar off, and even though each detail of the steps ahead of you are not plainly laid out, you have the promise recorded in the Word that Jesus Christ told his disciples, I will be with you. I will be with you. And then you think, well, God was with the Israelites when they were in Egypt, and God brought the plagues and he carried them out. God was with Joshua when he was asked to walk around a city 7 times. What does it mean that God is with us? How precious is that promise? And how faithful and reliable that is. And we can say that with certainty because we've seen it time and time again. But now the challenge is, will we believe it for our own lives? Will we trust him that he'll provide all of our needs and that we don't need to have anxiety or care about what we'll eat, what we'll wear, or where we'll fit in? But hold on more firmly to the promise that God will be with the one that has a contrite heart, the one that's following him, the one that's trusting on him and leaning on him and not on his own understanding. There are so many promises that we are given to help us on our way. And so, Abraham saw those afar off. We see the realization of those promises in Jesus Christ. And so we have even a more of a reason to believe the things that we've heard from the gospel. But there's a state of heart. And there's an expression that's really critical. Just to know the promises, to know the stories and the facts and figures, that's will only get you so far. What is critical is that the understanding of these things would be mixed with faith in our hearts. That we would, as it says here, the next thing that was said, and they were persuaded of them. They were convinced. They put away doubting. They put away skepticism. And they were willing to take the word of God as it is in its totality and own it, to make it theirs, not to leave something out. But when we find out that we've been missing something, embrace it. Take it to heart. Put it into practice. Be persuaded. And those of us who are followers of the Lord and are children of God, we know that this is so essential. It's a cornerstone of walk with the Lord, this faith that we have. But to our friends, this is the question for you. You've probably heard the stories of the scripture many times, but are you persuaded? Are you persuaded of them? Are you convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt? The Apostle Paul was, and he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 12. He says a verse that may be very helpful when you find yourself in a moment of doubt or in a moment of temptation and you need to know where to lean. So it could be a very good memory verse and helpful. In the second half of verse 12, he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know his faithfulness? Do you know his love? And how he showed compassion on those who were in need. And do you think that he would show the same compassion to you when your strength is weak, when your wisdom is lacking, and you call upon him? The leper came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Be clean. The simple faith and persuasion, and to know who you're believing and who God has revealed in Jesus Christ to our hearts and souls. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God is able to do the work. God is able to keep a soul who entrusts the keeping of himself or herself unto God. God is able to keep them and preserve them. So, what, my friend, have you committed unto the Lord? What have you dedicated to the Lord? You can dedicate all kinds of things. You can dedicate and commit your time. You can dedicate and commit your finances. You can dedicate and commit your decisions and path in life. You will find that God can faithfully keep all of those things and provide even more than what you think that those things hold in their value. But what we preach and what the scripture teaches plainly is that it's important to commit these things to the Lord, but that he is first and foremost interested in our hearts. Is he able to keep your heart? Keep your heart in the love of God and the patient waiting for Jesus Christ? Is he able to keep you to the end in faithfulness and obedience? God is able. And by faith, we trust and believe that promise. And so he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The one that's persuaded will hold firm and hold fast the truth of the word of God. That's the example of faith in Abraham as well, who was persuaded of the promises. And he says next that he embraced them. Not only did he have them in his mind as knowledge, not only did he agree with them, but he made them his own. He held to them, he took them close to his life. And there's a precious promise that Jesus Christ gives to all those who will embrace the word of God and his promises. When Jesus was with his disciples, his mother and his brethren came looking for him. And he was told that they were seeking him. And Jesus replied, behold, my mother and my brethren, everyone that does the will of God, they are my brother, sister, and mother. We may be pilgrims and strangers on this earth, but the promise of God that is hopeful, that is looking forward to Christ's return, knows that there is a place where we do belong. And there is a family. And it is to be found in all of those that embrace the promises of the Lord and promises of the Word and say, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not just the knowledge. It's not even a testimony. But it's a life. It's when the old man is buried together in the likeness of the death of Christ and rises as a new creature by the change and the work of God. That's our hope. That's our expectation. What God is doing and what God is making. And so may we embrace the word and the promises. And finally, he says, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Romans 10, verse 10. Says that, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We must make a plain declaration of what country we are citizens of. If we are a citizen of this world or we are a citizen of heaven. If our faith is in our own abilities or resources, or if our faith is in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. To make it plain, to say it, to share it, to let other people know about it. This is a plain declaration that we seek a country, unquestionable, not looking for the boundary that we can make ourselves comfortable on the border, kind of like Lot. You know, he was looking around at the country that he could inherit, and he saw the beautiful, beautiful land of the valley in Israel. And he desired that, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And eventually he ended up right in the middle. But Abraham, he's giving us this example of declaring plainly, not to be on the border, not to be so unclear, but to declare plainly, to make it obvious, to be unashamed that our hearts and minds don't value the things of this earth, but truly value and are prioritizing the things of the Lord, just like Jesus Christ taught us, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things. All the other things will be added that we have need, that God knows that we need. In verse 15, we read, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." My thoughts go to Lot's wife, who Jesus told us to remember. She thought about her home. She thought about what she had left. And she turned around and became a pillar of salt. The opportunity to return to sin and to destruction, that door, Satan would always love to hold that wide open. But let's keep our eyes on that promise. Let's keep our eyes on that better country. Let's not turn back like Lot's wife. Let's declare plainly our pursuit for this better country and heavenly. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Jesus talks about not being of the world as he prays to his Father in John chapter 17. Starting with verse 14, he talks about this, and this helps us to understand what it means to be a pilgrim and a stranger in the world, and how far to go. It says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Being a pilgrim and a stranger, we need to be prepared to be rejected. We need to be prepared that the positions that we hold are not the most popular. We need to be prepared to be despised by a world that values other things and yet love them anyway. "I pray," Jesus says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." So not a physical separation, not a physical separation from the world, but a spiritual one. A spiritual separation keeping us from evil. This is kind of like the worship that Jesus talked about to the Samaritan woman by the well. That it wasn't in the temple or in the mountain in Samaria where people were to worship, but that they were to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And so Jesus is sending us into the world to be salt and light, to declare plainly a clear message of Jesus Christ and the difference in priorities, the difference in heart, and the difference that God is able to make in a life, and to declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ as he works and lives in us. And so, not a physical separation from the world or to isolate ourselves, but actually with a mission to love, to serve, and to call those who are in the world while there's yet time. We don't have forever. And there are those who are in need of the Word of God. And when Apostle Paul was speaking of the expression and preaching, he said, deliver it with words that are easy to be understood. Make the declaration plain. Don't make people guess whether you're of the world or you're of God. Make it clear. Make it unmistakable. Make it unquestionable. Make it thorough. In every way, desiring to commit not just a little bit of my life or a little bit of my finances or a little bit of the way I do things or my Sunday instead of the rest of the week. Of course not. Everything. And once we've given everything, let him have more. Because that's the way he loved us. That's the way Jesus loved us. There wasn't a small gift that he gave us. He gave us his all. And we're called to do the same for him. As we live out this calling to be pilgrims and strangers in the earth, and consider our ways, that we would also, with those that have been faithful, make a plain declaration that we are the Lord's and seek his kingdom. Amen.